Hey everyone, this is Sasha
and Claire,
and this is
Dare to Rise.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Dare to Rise with your hosts, Sasha and Claire.
Hey.
This is the last podcast of the season, so we thought it'd be great to take a look back at the past year and review the lessons that we've learned from doing this podcast together and how these lessons have actually impacted our lives.
I know I, for one, have learned so much just doing this project with you. I know in episode 3, we discussed my morning routine and self-care, and my morning routine has definitely changed slightly. My morning meditations are shorter because I am sleeping in a little bit more.
Yeah, weren't you getting up at like 5 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
Didn't matter if I had gone to bed at 1 a.m. I was making sure I was up at 5 to do like a minimum of a 1 hour meditation.
Wow, that's...
I was like really dedicated. And, you know, I still am. It's still definitely a priority. I have shortened it just because I felt like it was more important for me to get my sleep in.
I agree. Oh. I think that was one of the challenges for me when I heard you talking about your morning routine. I was so envious and I was just like, I wish I could do that. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to make this happen. And it didn't happen at all.
Yeah, you said like it felt like a day at the spa.
That's what it sounded like to me. It sounded like so relaxing, so like in tune with yourself that I was just like, I really, really, really want to do that. Yeah. It didn't happen for me.
Well, you know, I didn't realize how extreme my morning routine was. And I really did start noticing how I needed sleep more than my meditation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I still meditate on not as long, more like 10 minutes or so in the morning. And I still listen to my I Am affirmations. Found this pretty cool app. It's called Abide. In addition to my I Am YouTube video that I listen to while I'm getting ready, I also listen to the daily morning prayer. And it's pretty cool. It primes the day. That's the reason why I have a morning routine. And then in addition to a morning routine, I started having an evening routine because I notice like as the day goes on, I'll usually at the end of the day, I'm off doing whatever and not really setting a bedtime. I don't have a structure. So I started an evening routine at the end of each day where I prime myself to rest and to sleep.
That's nice.
Yeah, and in this way I can kind of prep my body to relax and slow down and really reflect some more, because I love beginning my day in reflection and I love ending my day in reflection. Part of my evening routine is I write 3 things that made today great. So I start my morning with gratitude and I end with gratitude.
That's beautiful.
It is. And you know, this life and this existence, it is really truly a gift and it's a blessing. And I know that it's so overused, and the deeper you get into these teachings, you do realize how amazing this life really is, especially when you take that time to really be appreciative of all that you have and how far you've come. So it's kind of cool because I know at the end of each day, I have to write 3 things that made today really great. So it's kind of a thought. So the evening routine kind of carries on all day because now I'm looking for things that will make it great, that I can write on my journal and I can reflect on and be thankful for too in the morning.
And I imagine that changes your mindset too. Like one of the things that we talk about a lot on this podcast is how you have to change the way that you think and you have to think more positively. You break the patterns. Yes. And so if you are starting your day thinking about things that you are grateful for and things that make you happy, and you're ending your day that way too, then it kind of sets the tone for the day that you're going to have a good day. Mm-hmm. And then if you're looking for those good things versus the negative things, you're also thinking back at the as the day is a good day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always positive and negative, and it all depends, like you said, is your mindset and how you've trained yourself and what to look for. Now, I also started asking myself a different question. I remember I used to say, am I being tested right now? Is God or the universe, or am I being tested? I change that question around now. I challenge God or the universe, whatever word you want to use, it all applies. But I challenge God. I'm like, God, what do you have in store for me today? I am open, I'm receptive to whatever blessings and gifts you want to send my way.
It's nice as well.
Yeah, so I'm just like, okay.
Is that what you're thinking when you're meditating?
Basically, as long as I say that to myself, and while I'm journaling, you know, the things that I'm grateful for, my I am statements, my forgiveness statements, and then I take a moment, I'll also prime my journal, same journal that I use, 3 things that made today great. And then I'll meditate on that. And then I'll also ask that question. What do you have in store for me today? What blessings are coming my way?
When you think of like optimistic versus pessimistic, instead of being like, am I being tested today? Like, what's going to go wrong today? Versus what are my blessings today? It's already putting that positive spin on the day right off the bat.
You kind of go from being a victim of your circumstance to being like, what's going to come of this? So whenever there's a challenge or like something that's difficult that's going on in my life, I ask myself like, okay, God gave me this. And why did he give me this? It's because I had a lesson. I need to learn something from this. So instead of like, why me? Why now? Am I being tested? Is my faith being tested? Then it kind of goes to being like, I trust that this is happening for me for a greater reason.
That really makes me so happy. I'm kind of tearing up a little bit.
I see you tearing up and I'm like, oh.
Because it's amazing to me how much you have grown and changed in just this past year. Mm. Like at the beginning of this podcast, like your mindset was definitely not like that. And you were working on it and you were trying to be positive, but you actually
oh my God, there are tears.
But you actually, like, tears. it's just amazing. Like, I'm so proud of you that you're able to now look at things that way.
Yeah, in like a much bigger perspective.
Yeah.
So yeah, I credit all of this because of the podcast, definitely, because I want to keep challenging and pushing myself and keep educating and keep learning about who I am and what I'm here for and what my purpose is. And then I also want to just keep growing and expanding and sharing that with other people. Being in this platform with you has just been like an amazing journey. I'm so thankful for you.
Well, I'm thankful for you because you really challenge me to then step up my game and work on myself and better myself.
Amazing.
So even though I was not able to reach the same level as you and your morning routines as I had hoped. Mm-hmm. What I've come to realize is that what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another.
Yeah.
And so yours, back episode 3, when you were talking about your morning routine and I was like in awe over it and I wanted to implement that, I then had to kind of take a look back at my commandments and it's Be Sasha is the first one. And yes, just because I want to like something doesn't mean that I do. And so I just have to be true to myself and work with what I can actually do. And what worked for me is it's definitely not getting up at 5 a.m.
Oh my God. Sorry. That's actually my gratitude alarm.
No, that's awesome. I actually want to leave that in the podcast. Because can you talk about that for a second, even though it's kind of interrupting this, but I really like that idea.
So I have 3 alarms that go off throughout every day. I tailored these alarms to fit where I am in my life. Just looking back at my...
What your schedule is and how it like fits into your day.
Exactly. Around 9:30, I get in the office. I'm feeling pretty crummy about myself. And, you know, the work that I'm doing, my regular 9-to-5 doesn't fulfill me. And you know, at 9:30 or so, I get a little down just sitting there in my cubicle. 9:30 a.m., I have an alarm, and it says, trust the plan, trust the process, and trust God. Like, for example, the podcast, like, we don't have, like, tens and thousands and millions of downloads, but it's all part of the process, mm-hmm. and I trust that process, and I trust in the work that we're doing, and that with great intention and action coupled together can eventually lead to results. My 9:30 alarm is to trust the process and trust the plan. 2 o'clock, the alarm you guys just heard, is gratitude. So at 2 o'clock, you know, I start to get the afternoon slumps and, you know, start to fall into that, I want to, instead of reaching for that candy or whatever to soothe my sadness at usually that time, my alarm goes off and says, be grateful for now, for the past, and for the future. And then at 7:30 p.m., I have an alarm that reminds me to take action. And, oh, I love how I worded this, too. Because 7:30 p.m., I'm usually home from work. I've walked the dog. I've usually had dinner by then. And usually I just want to hang out on the couch and watch TV and just space out.
Oh, yeah, I hear that.
I do that constantly. So I was like, okay, let me disrupt myself. And at 7:30, I'm going to remind myself that actions lead to results. That's just a reminder to myself. Okay, I have a choice right now. I can choose to veg out on the couch and not do any work and just watch Netflix, or I can actually get on a business call, or I could work on my website, or I could do something with my business, or do some more research for the podcast, or do something that's going to uplift me. These alarms are meant to disrupt the highest expression of myself and the ideal version of myself, interrupting my mundane, daily, someone who's stuck in routine self.
Really interesting, because like we talk about more, where we have been talking about morning routines, but there are also routines that you can do throughout the day. It doesn't have mm-hmm. to be a nightly routine, yep. It doesn't have to be a morning routine. You can do something similar that will impact your life in small ways, but actually have like a big impact mm-hmm. by either pushing you to action or pushing you to change your mindset or something. And I really, really like the way that you do that.
You know, this whole process and this journey, it's like we talked about, it's a process. It really is.
It really is.
Yeah, and you said that what works for some people don't work for others. Some people, yeah. An alarm like that, they're just gonna ignore it. Mm-hmm. For me, I hear an alarm, I don't ignore it. I like will look at my phone, I'll read the message, and just the act of doing it daily, it feel like it's seeping into my subconscious, that it's not something that I consciously have to do, it's something that just happens. I like embody all of this. That's the ultimate goal. But I need daily reminders too.
I think we could all use some daily reminders, mm-hmm. and which is what I really like about that, because it's not a whole lot of effort. You just schedule it on your phone, and then it triggers, and then you can turn it off right away. So like if you're in a like a work environment, you can like do like a flashing light, or mm-hmm. you can do vibrations, and it's just something to just kind of snap you back out of like your thought process.
Exactly. Routine, being on a hamster wheel with your thoughts and emotions, taking like a proactive step.
Exactly.
To combat that.
So back to my routine. So I kind of do like two separate routines. I do kind of like a little bit of a morning routine, a little bit of a night routine. So for me, I need like 8 to 9 hours of sleep. Mm. I know that sounds like a lot, but that's what my body tells me that I need. Yeah. If I get less than 8 hours of sleep, I definitely feel it. If I get eight hours, it's a good night's sleep for me. And so when I was trying to do your routine and get up at 5 a.m., that was really challenging for me, because that was not enough sleep for me, because when I go to bed, I go to bed at like 10, getting up at 5 is just not really going to work for me. I need to find a way to get myself out of bed on time, because what would happen is I would wake up, I would grab my phone, and I would sit in bed for at least a half hour, just looking at my phone, scrolling through Facebook, Instagram.
Biggest time wasters.
Oh, very much there. So. It's like I love them to like catch up on things, but I would be looking at the same 5 things over and over again, just like hoping to see something else that I don't have to get out of bed for. Monday through Friday, I actually plug my phone in on the opposite side of my bedroom, which requires me, if I wake up in the morning and I want to look at my phone, I have to physically get out of bed and walk over to my phone, which at that point, by the time I walk over to my phone, I'm like, well, I'm up. I should just get on with my day.
Yeah.
So that has really been a life changer for me because that all of a sudden I gain like a half hour back in the morning. And what I do is I can go, I can like do my morning routine, wash my face, brush my teeth, take a shower, style my hair, and then I can be done at by a half hour. I'm like ready to go. And then I can go downstairs, I can feed my cat, and then I can sit there with my bullet journal and I can kind of plan out the things that I need to do. I'm not really a big journaler. It's one of those things that I wish I was, but I just don't really enjoy doing it very much. I like the idea of coming up with the things, the most important things I want to do that day, whether it's cleaning the kitchen or vacuuming or taking time to spend with Elijah. I try to specifically identify what those things are that I want to do in my bullet journal. And then I might not be able to do them in that morning because I have to go to work, but it's something that I can do when I get home. I can have a checklist of things that I already have planned out that I want to do. And it really helps with that because then it's like, I already know what I want to do. I already kind of made a list. So I'm like, okay, I just need to get through that list and then I can relax and do stuff.
It kind of sets the day. It's like, okay, these are my priorities. This is what needs to be done. And let's focus all of our attention on it until it gets done. And then at the end of the day, when you're looking at your list, you're like, okay, I can check this off and that off and that off. And then you feel good about yourself.
Exactly. I feel very good about myself when I do the things that are on my list.
Yeah, I accomplished everything.
Yeah. And then what I do is at night, that's kind of more of like where I do like my kind of like self-care things. Usually before bed, I will wash my face and I'll do a face mask. Mm-hmm. And I just have like a bunch of different kinds. Some are like peel off. Some are like clay that you leave on and then wash off. Some are just like a cloth thing that you put on your face that makes you look weird.
And you send me pictures. Yep. And I'm like, wow, that could be your Halloween mask.
And so basically that's like my nightly routine is I just like, that's like me getting ready for bed. Like it's a half hour usually routine that takes me to like wash my hair, brush my teeth, put the face mask on. I've started putting this, like I have a dandruff problem. And so I started putting this coconut oil thing from Head and Shoulders in my hair at night to like let it like moisturize overnight. So I put that in. So it's just kind of like my like wind down time. Mm-hmm. And then what I do is like when I get into bed, that's like when I say my prayers. I don't say them out loud. I just think them in my head and I like have my little conversation of like the things. And then like I find that like as I'm praying, I'm like falling asleep. So it kind of, that's what works for me right now in this time. And you know, a year from now or even 5 days from now, that could change.
It's funny how you said you looked at my morning routine, you were like in awe of it. And I looked at your morning routine and I was in awe of the 8 to 9 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And that's what I implemented into mine. I started prioritizing my rest and my sleep instead of pushing myself to wake up every morning at 5 to do my morning meditations. I was like, you know what? I need more sleep.
Sleep is really important for me. It always has been. I've always, like when I was in high school, I would go to bed at 8 o'clock at night and I'd wake up at 5:30.
What? I didn't know that.
I always needed that sleep. So I always wanted to make sure I got that sleep.
That reminds me of a really funny story. Oh my gosh. So you found your journal from, I believe it was high school, and you read it to me and it said, oh my God, something so awful happened and it's just the worst thing ever. And you're like, but I'm tired, so I'm gonna go to bed.
Like, I was so tired, I couldn't even write about it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I find, like, I like the idea of writing and writing everything out, but then, like, it's like my hand gets tired. I'm like, this is a lot of effort. It takes me so much longer to write it than to think it. Mm. And so it's just like, that's why I'm not much into journaling. Mm. I love the idea of it. I wish that I was into it, but I just really am not.
It's a good thing to know yourself, and yeah, you just gotta keep trying and seeing what works.
For a while I was trying a morning routine where I was doing morning pages, where it's like you write like 3 pages of just like whatever's on your mind. It could be like, I hate morning pages, or it could be like, oh, I had this weird dream last night. And I like the idea of writing about my dreams because I have a lot of them and a lot of like vivid dreams. But what I find is that, like, it'll take me like a half hour to write that stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to do this for a half hour. Mm. If it was like a quick 10-minute thing, then that would be great. But like actually taking a half hour to write, because that's how fast I write, was just too much for me.
I mean, that's the whole point of like the discussing like our morning routine and self-care. And the purpose of this episode is to show you guys, our listeners, that we're all a work in progress, and we're trying different things, and we're seeing what works and throwing out what doesn't, and what works for me might not work for you, and, you know, whatever. But the important thing is to recognize what's true to you. When you find what's good for you, what really speaks to you on like a deeper level, what you actually want to do it. And that's the whole thing about routines. Like, you want the routine to work. Otherwise, you're not going to stay on it. If you don't like it that much, you're just going to find every excuse to not do it. Whereas for me, oh my God, I look forward to my morning and evening routines like that. Those two, the best part of my day, because I've taken stuff that I really love and really enjoy and incorporated it into my daily routines.
And that's how you develop the morning routines, because if you don't like doing it, you're not going to do it. Yeah. If you don't have something to look forward to when you wake up, something that you want to do, you're going to be like,
I'll hit the snooze button again.
Yeah, I don't need to get up right now. I don't want to. I'll do that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you got to find something that works for you and something that makes you happy and that's going to make you want to get out of bed to do.
And then the other thing about routines is, as your life changes and as you learn and expand more as a soul on this earth school, I recently heard that. I love that saying.
Earth school.
Earth school. We're here to learn and grow. So anyways, the more you learn and the more you do, your routines do change. Yeah. Like, I discovered the Abide app. I never knew about it then. I was like, this is so cool. And I love it. And I listen to it daily. And I've added that. Little things that you pick up on and that you're like, I'm going to add that because that sounds amazing.
You know? And you can always try it out for a little bit. Like, if it ends up not adding value to you, or you don't like it, just remove it and you can replace it with something else, or just remove it completely and move on and continue your morning routine the way that you like it.
Yeah, and the way that fits for you, exactly. Most importantly.
We also have some more stuff to talk about, specifically overcoming challenges. You know, we all are works in progress. We're not perfect, and things are going to work for some people and not others. And Claire, you and I worked on this, decided this podcast because we wanted to work on ourselves and share that with other people so that in the hopes that they would also work on themselves and help better themselves.
Take like an inspired action towards a goal.
A lot of the things that we've talked about are things that we've actually implemented from time to time, such as like the cognitive distortions, I think from episode 5, and then we also touch upon some other like techniques to help us. And even though we've done them once before, doesn't necessarily mean that I have kept that up all along. Like the cognitive distortions, the worksheet that I had discussed there, I had done that and then I felt better and then I stopped doing that. And then when we were doing the episode and I was like researching and like put like doing all the notes for it, I was like, wow, I need to do this again. And so the thing that I find really interesting and really helpful with this podcast is that it brings back things that we've done and kind of reminds us, like, hey, this is something you should keep as a tool that you do from time to time. Yes. When you see that you're starting to fall back into the negative thinking routine, bring that back in and help yourself.
Yes.
So just because you do something once doesn't mean that it's like one and done. It's something that you should remind yourself to do from time to time, and kind of reviewing this and going through each of these episodes. Every time we come across something new or something that we've done in the past, I'm like, wow, I really should be incorporating that. I had noticed that I kind of started backsliding into negative thinking, and I did use that spreadsheet again to help myself back out of there. Between that, but then also discovering new tricks like the 5-second rule that we talked about, really brings me back to thinking positively. And so it's not only like old tools, but it's also the new tools that you bring to the table, that I bring to the table, that are just helping me become a better version of myself.
When I first heard about the cognitive distortions, I was like, this is awesome. That would have saved me years of therapy. We actually reviewed each episode and we were like, an overall theme throughout like a bunch of episodes that we touched on is overcoming challenges.
Yep.
And this kind of cycles back to my morning and self-care. That's why I do it daily, because to get yourself like the best version of yourself, like think about our day-to-day life and how there's so much stuff that comes up, like whether it's work or something you saw that was traumatizing in the news or something you heard. It's like daily we're bombarded by like all of
negativity.
The negativity bias that you talked about and how we're built for that. And that's why it's super important to be aware of all of these different tools and different resources that you can use to kind of shield yourself, and then just doing it daily and constantly and consistently. So for me, my overcoming my challenges is I still see my therapist regularly, and I discovered this term. It's called shadow work. And I've been doing a lot of that. Shadow work is basically, you have all of us, like we talked about, we all have our negativity bias, and that it's all there for a reason. And each of us does have a dark side to us that we want to ignore or shame or just not even acknowledge that it's there. So shadow work essentially is like looking at the emotions, like the negative emotions that you feel, and trying to get an understanding of it, why it exists, where did it originate from, and then accepting it. An emotion that I really struggle with is like the self-hatred. Well, the self-hatred that I feel is due to my childhood abuse. Mm-hmm. And that was me internalizing, I'm a bad person, and that's why I deserve this abuse. And so I beat myself up. The shadow work that I did with that, and I'm still working on, is I bring that to more of an awareness and more of a real recognition that I'm doing this, and that I do some inner child healing, and I take myself back to that moment, and I reparent myself, and I say, it's okay, you don't deserve this. This abuse that you're experiencing now has everything to do with mom and what she was going through, and nothing to do with you. You are worthy, you are loved, you deserve to be here, and I love you. It's the acceptance that, okay, this exists. It existed and it helped me for a time because that was my survival method at that time. The mere fact that you accept it and you recognize it allows that healing of that part of you.
Because if you try to ignore it, it's just going to get worse.
Persist.
It's just going to get worse and worse.
But if
you actually accept and say, like, yes, this was a part of me, this is the way that I felt or feel, and then you can then take actionable steps to go beyond that.
And that saying is so true. What resists persists. Through this podcast and through doing the show with you, Sash, is just, I found myself very hungry to learn and grow and expand, because I just want to keep challenging myself and keep being better.
I hear that. I definitely feel that way as well. And I feel like the more that I learn, the more that I'm doing things to improve, just kind of snowball. It's like an object in motion stays in motion. Mm-hmm. The as you start going down the self-help route, you start just kind of wanting to absorb everything and read everything and watch everything and kind of just build and like just find everything that can help you and everything that you should be doing or can do and finding that right thing for you, which kind of goes into one of our first episodes, episode 2, where we were kind of doing like a year of new things and we were talking about all the things that we had done in the year, past year, and all the things that we want to do. And it's really funny because I definitely set some lofty goals in that episode that I did not achieve. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to finish this book. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be awesome. I even set like lofty goals for myself. Like I started a YouTube channel. I'm going to have like 100 subscribers by X date. And I did not hit it at all. One of the things that really helped me from the podcast is one of the things that we talked about in episode 8, It Starts From Within, where we were talking about how, use the term, you're not there yet. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was so powerful because yes, I did not achieve every single goal, but the goal is only over when you give up.
Yes.
And if you sit there and you say, okay, I'm not there yet, you can then sit there and do some action to achieve it then. Because you're like, I'm not there yet. What do I need to do to make it happen?
And I wanted to comment, you were like, lofty goals. But I'm like, lofty goals are freaking good. They're awesome because then you set yourself up for some measurable success, let's say. Mm-hmm. But in the action of setting these goals, you've actually set things in motion. And okay, yeah, you didn't get whatever subscribers you wanted to get, or
I had 12. Actually 13. I just got one.
See, that's 13 more than you would have had if you hadn't even bothered.
And I think that's also very important. Like, just because you don't hit your goal when you think that you're going to hit it doesn't mean that you haven't achieved any.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to hit 100 subscribers by December 31st this year. I have 13. It could still happen, potentially.
Get, like, a viral video.
If I get, like, one viral video. But the point is what I'm trying to make is that I'm not at 100 yet, but I still have the opportunity to get there.
Because you're not giving up.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm gonna keep going. And, you know, it's just setting motion to those goals.
Exactly.
And that's the other thing that brings me to my point is that things take time. Just because you do something for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and like I said, if you didn't hit your goal, it's fine. Just keep going and keep trying. I think you said
Picasso created nearly 100 masterpieces, but in his lifetime, he made more than 50,000 works of art. Mm-hmm. So out of those 50,000 works of art, only 100 of them were masterpieces.
Yeah. So it's a numbers game. It's constantly choosing to keep fighting and keep going in that persistence. Kind of broke this down into different levels. Law of attraction, vision boarding. That's kind of like setting intentions and setting goals. And that's level one. It's excellent. It's a great place to start. And then level two is then like the action. Okay, it's great that you have these visualizations and what you want and where you want. Okay, here's your ideal. Take inventory. Here's where you're at. Now, how are you gonna, and there's a gap between there, right? And then it's like, what actions are you going to take to keep closing that gap towards your highest vision of yourself? That's level two. And then level three, the hardest one, is just persistence and not getting discouraged, even though, okay, there might be this huge gap in where you want to be versus where you are. But with each time you get better, you learn, you keep growing. It just blows my mind. Like Picasso had 50,000 different art pieces and 100. Like, if you do the math on that, what percentage is that? But he kept going and kept doing it and kept pushing himself, and it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, how many became masterpieces at the end
of
the
day? He did what he loved, and he...
He kept going.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what happens externally when you're doing something that's fulfilling you.
And talking about level one vision and the level two action, there's this really cool method, which is called the 5-4-3-2-1 plan. The 5-4-3-2-1 planning method is you start off with five. Where do you want to be 5 years from now? Then what you're doing is you're kind of coming up with ways that you can get there. Okay, what can you get done in 4 months that will help you achieve your 5-year goals? Then what can you do in 3 weeks that will help you achieve your 5-year goals? What can you do in 2 days? And what can you do in the next 1 hour?
It breaks it down into very small, digestible steps. Because if you're thinking about, oh, I have this goal to make 100,000 subscribers. Oh my God, how the hell am I gonna do that?
Yep.
But then it's like, okay, I space it out and be like, okay, I can do 5, I can do 10, I can do, and then it just builds and builds and builds.
Yep, and actually I have my journal here where I can show my I'll read them. One of my plans for my professional was be self-employed. That's my 5-year plan, where I want to be. Within 4 months, so I did this at the beginning of the year or towards the end of last year, so like maybe like a year ago. Mm. Within 4 months, I can create a schedule for podcasts and YouTube. Mm-hmm. So that was this podcast and my YouTube channel. Within 3 weeks, I could get my YouTube channel up and running, and we could plan the podcast topics and name. Mm-hmm. Then within 2 days, plan the first few episodes of YouTube, post custom content links to Tumblr, because I was planning on doing The Sims, and if I had custom content, I wanted to make sure that I gave those artists credit, and research video editors. And then within 1 hour, I can set up Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, and research how to do a YouTube Let's Play. So basically, within an hour of writing this plan out, I had set up my Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr. I had researched how to do a Let's Play. And then within those 2 days, I made sure I reached those goals. And then I had actually even exceeded my 3 weeks of starting my YouTube channel, and I had gotten it started up sooner. Now, I'm not anywhere near being self-employed right now, but that's still a step towards my 5-year plan. And so what I'm going to do again is for the new year, I'm going to redo this, and I'm going to come up with those actionable steps that will continue to help me.
I love that. Yeah, and I like the idea of like taking small actionable steps, because if you think about 5 years from now and sounds dreamy and lofty, actually when you break it down day to day into small actionable chunks, before you know it, you've gone like so much further than you would have if you just sat there and you're like, how the hell am I gonna get all these new subscribers?
Exactly.
And it's not just about like the end goal, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And that so resonates with me right now, because think about the person you're becoming because of the journey.
And they always say that your future self will thank you for what you do today. Mm-hmm. And that's really important.
Yes.
And also with the small actionable steps, it's like that joke, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just eat the whole elephant, you have to do it like one little bite at a time. Not saying that you should eat an elephant. That's just what they say, because the elephant's big. So they're just using an elephant because
euphemism.
It's giant. That's the point, is like, you can't just expect to just fit the entire elephant in your mouth. You gotta kind of take it one step at a time.
And if you think about eating an entire elephant, you're like, forget it. I'm not gonna get an elephant into my mouth. How?
Yeah.
So then you don't even try, because it's like, this is crazy. This is, no, why would I even bother? Why bother? Well, this is why, because actually, is doable. You can eat an elephant. Ugh. Who would want to?
I don't know. I don't even know what they would taste. I don't even know if people eat elephants.
Yeah.
But it's just a joke I remember hearing growing up as a kid. Oh, like, how do you eat an elephant? How? One bite at a time. I don't know. It's just, I have a lot of weird jokes from my family.
I love the jokes though.
So basically everything that we do, it's just each step takes us further along our journey, our path. Basically, you will eventually meet your destination as long as you keep on putting in the effort.
Right. And it's okay. You know, some weeks you make more progress than others, and that's okay. Remind yourself that you don't have to do this. You want to, you get to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's your mindset to like guilting yourself and being angry and blaming yourself for not doing what you set out to or not accomplishing that goal. Look at this podcast, for example. We don't have to do this, but we want to and we get to.
Yep.
And that's like powerful right there. Sometimes things happen. There's some stressors throughout the day. And when you're feeling stressed out about something, it's okay to take a break. You got to ask yourself, like, what's the kindest thing that I can do for myself right now? And if that particular night, you just want to sit on the couch and watch Netflix, that's okay. Just get right back on that horse.
Yeah. It's just don't make that a pattern.
Yes.
Make that an exception to the rule,
yeah.
Not the rule.
Give yourself that grace to allow yourself to enjoy this life. That's really, you know,
what it's all about.
It really is.
There are so many different ways that the podcast has helped us. One of the things where it really helped me with the grieving process, when back in episode 7, we talked about grieving, what it looks like for us, the experiences that we were having, the challenges we were having.
And our recent losses too, our respective losses, your uncle and my grandmother.
The way that this podcast really helped me out, and I feel like it's helping me across the board in this level, is that I'm talking about things that I wouldn't really normally talk about or bring up. Like the issues that I was having with the loss of my uncle, I didn't really voice that to people, and so I didn't really know how to handle my emotions around that. Being able to talk to you about that and get advice really helped me, because then I was able to take your advice and allow myself the time to grieve for my uncle, even though there wasn't like a specific time or place to do so. I just made the time and dealt with it. It helped me to no longer be a ticking time bomb. I talked about that a lot in episode 7, how I feel like at any moment I could just break down crying.
Yeah,
but now I don't feel like that anymore, because I made sure I took the time to cry, to let it out, to go through the emotion that I was feeling. In doing so, I felt like a weight had come off of my shoulders. I was no longer walking around with all this burden. I even reached out to my uncle's daughter, my cousin. I'm taking baby steps towards being able to be there for other people better. With these conversations and continuing to talk about losses and your emotions involved with it, and just allowing yourself to feel it, I think that makes things better and better each time.
When I consulted with my coworker, who's a grief counselor, and I asked her for advice, I didn't realize I was doing it wrong. I'm always like the kind of person that said, they're no longer suffering, or, oh, you'll be okay. Like,
or I don't want to upset them by bringing up the topic.
Yes. And I didn't realize that it's not the right way. And I didn't know that. And it was just because I was uncomfortable with their emotions, and because I was uncomfortable, I was just actually trying to soothe myself by stopping it.
Yeah, you're making it easier for yourself
yes.
by avoiding the topic, avoiding them altogether, possibly.
Yes.
Really, the only one that's benefiting from that is you and not them.
Yeah.
And really what they need, as your friend said, is to don't avoid the topic, talk about it with them, be there for them, listen to them, and do things for them that will actually benefit, like offer to babysit, bring
practical.
Them food, like do things that will help make their life easier as they're going through the grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to do all of those things, because, you know, it can be challenging to devote that much time, and hopefully that they will have a better support system, and I think each situation will be different. But maybe at this time, the only thing you can do is bring them food. Mm-hmm. Or maybe this time you can schedule time to sit down with them and listen to them. Because everybody's situation is different. So if, like, for example, you have a newborn at home and you know somebody who lost somebody and you want to be there for them, but you can't because you have a newborn at home, there's small things that you can do instead.
Yeah, you can send food. You could send a gift card to a restaurant. Something small. And, you know, it's small to us, but to the person who's going through the process and the grieving and the loss, that's huge. Are you kidding me? Food and just the thought. And recently, one of my friends lost her brother. I went to the wake and she had tears in her eyes when she saw me, and she's like, you didn't have to come all this way. And meanwhile, I'm like, this is like the least I could do right now. And it was like huge for her. And it was just amazing to think that I was able to help in that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it might be small to you, but for someone that really needs it, it's huge. So I wouldn't discount that.
Yeah.
For sure. Now, in my grieving experience, my grandmother, no, I'm still grieving. There are days that I get really sad and I think about her and I allow it. Yes, my grandmother's been dead for over a year. Whatever comes up, comes up, and I just deal with the emotions and I don't judge myself and I don't criticize myself or think like, oh, I should have been over this by now. And as my friend says, you don't ever get over this person. This person will always be a part of you. It's just the more you work through these emotions, the less and less it consumes of you. Now, I found this great guided meditation about grief and letting go. And I actually sat down and I listened and I followed the guided visualization and the meditation and with my grandmother in mind. And it was just such a beautiful experience. And then when I came out of this meditation practice, this picture, I love this picture. It's a baby picture of me. I'm probably 3 or 4 months old and I'm sitting on my grandmother's lap. I have it saved on my phone and I look at it constantly. And then after the meditation experience, I looked at that picture. I was just drawn to it for whatever reason. And then I looked at my grandmother's face and I just realized that her and I have the same smile. Like the way our lips curl and the way our face changes and we even have the same dimple. So every time I smile, I think of my grandmother. It's like I'm smiling and this is a reflection of my grandmother. I even have the same shape of her face. I have this oval face, I would say, and I was like, wow, that's exactly like my grandmother. I'm just looking at the picture and I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I'm like, I have so many features of her that's in me. That's like a reflection of her in me. I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about it. Just like her smile and the shape of her face, her lips. And then I noticed for the first time in this picture that she's wearing these pearl earrings. Like these big white pearl earrings. I never noticed that till now. And I love pearl earrings. Sasha, you see me wearing my pearl earrings every single day. I could be going to the park with the dog. I could just be going out for a walk. I always have my pearl earrings on. I don't know if it's subconsciously got into my head about like preference for pearl earrings, but I don't feel complete without them. And apparently my grandmother used to wear pearl earrings too.
Now, so your grandmother took care of you for the first couple of years of your life,
yes,
right?
The first 6 years of my life. So she was my mom. Even when I moved here to the States and was with my mom, my biological mom, it was still pretty confusing for me at the time because like when you're 0 to 6, you were being cared for by this woman and I knew she was my grandmother.
Yeah.
But she was my mom for
Your grandmother, but it was the relationship was like mother-daughter.
Yeah. And that's like your very formative years. That's when you're solidifying your like relationships and how you relate to the world and to other people. That's like such formative years. So she had such a big impact on me. And every time I look at the mirror now, I see her in me. And it's beautiful and scary and awesome at the same time. For the most part, it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
It's beautiful. It really is. Now, one thing that you can take away from this, any type of self-doubt or self-criticism about your look, if you now think of all the features that you share with your grandmother, you can now be like, if you criticize like, I don't like the way my lips look, but you're like, but then you're criticizing your grandmother. And so you should be like, no, I love the way that my lips look.
I love my grandmother. I love that she's alive in me.
Yeah.
And these are my grandmother's lips.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love that part of me now. I'm growing to love my face, knowing that I got some of my grandmother's features is I'm loving myself even more because of my love for my grandmother.
there's so much more that we could talk about. We could go on and on and on about all the ways that the podcast has helped us. I know that when we talked about episode 7, grief and how we dealt with it, I know that greatly impacted me and actually helped me move past my own grief as well as reach out to others and help them through theirs. I know that, Claire, you have constantly dealt with the grief of loss of your grandmother, but you've also worked on other aspects from episode 6, where it's like cultivating your support system.
So in episode 6, the dare was to reach out to someone to start fostering, nurturing, cultivating, and or mending your relationship. So I took this dare on personally, and actually when we were discussing our dare for this episode, I was actually had a very specific situation in my life that needed mending. I needed to mend a part of my family that needed some healing. So I was inspired to actually do our dare. So I reached out to my family member and we sat down and we discussed the past. And we both agreed that we wanted to move on, bridge that gap between us and put it behind us and to move on. The act of reaching out was so hard because a part of me was like, let's just move on and not go back and not revisit those painful memories and the reasons why we even fell out of touch in the first place and why there's this gap and this tension between us. It's easier to just do that. And I said no. I swallowed my pride and my ego. I started taking a look at myself and became very honest. And I saw how my actions did play a part. I had some responsibility there for sure. I was in the wrong on some parts. They were on the wrong on other parts. Just coming to that middle ground to then remove the tension between us and to have that courage to start this difficult conversation. As my hero, Brené Brown, says that every morning when she wakes up, when her feet hit the ground, she says, "I choose courage over comfort." Because it takes a lot of courage to really have these very difficult conversations and also being honest with yourself and then the process of healing yourself. By removing the tension and clearing the air, I have a stronger foundation to build a better relationship. So our dare for episode 10 is to compare yourself to where you were last year, to where you are now, and how have you changed? And where do you want to be a year from now?
And so if you enjoyed this episode, please share, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a review. Feel free to contact us using our email or give us a shout out on our socials found in the description below. Let us know how the past year has changed you. Let us know how the dare goes. We always love to hear about that.
We just really want to thank you guys for taking this journey with us. It's just been a real honor and a privilege to serve you guys.
So. It really has, and we really hope that we were able to make some sort of change for the positive in your life, because we know that doing this journey together for you guys has really impacted our lives, and we want you guys to have the same impact.
See you guys in season 2.
Woo!
Bigger things in store.
Just remember, fear is a 4-letter word that can stand for
forget everything and run, or face everything and rise.
We dare you to rise.